So today, God's word is going to be proclaimed again under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I'm so glad at the person that God is going to use to proclaim the word today. Let me give you a little introduction to many of you who are definitely not familiar with him. Amen. The person preaching today, wow, we've been friends for many years. As you can see, we were boys. That was the day I was going to marry my wife. Some of you will not marry me if you, the way I look there, but thank God for my wife. Amen. She over, look at the pants and, but I was even better than him, you know, just look at it. You know, but that was May 19th, 2001, when I was going to get married. That was my best man. But even before then, we've been friends many years before then. Somebody that God has used to teach me a lot of things, many things that I work with, I, you know, conduct my life with. I learned from him, especially in, you know, areas of wisdom, finances, and integrity. Just so many things that God has used him to teach me. God has raised him up greatly, you know, for the nations. He and his wife are a family, are precious to my wife and I. And today we have the honor of having, all the way from Lagos, Nigeria, I tell you, my best friend in the whole wide world. Let's welcome Pastor Akiyemi David. Let's rise up and give him a City Light welcome as he delivers the word.
Praise the Lord. Father, we give you all the glory for friendship, covenant, relationships. Thank you for City Light. Thank you for this month. Thank you for the things we'll be sharing today. We trust you for impartation of wisdom. Our lives will not remain the same. Thank you, Father. I ask for eyes that see and a heart that can perceive, to pick up lessons, to pick up instructions, to pick up things that will turn our lives around in such a way that we can fulfill your plans and your purpose and be leading lights. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Wow. Please just get seated. So good to, you know, in Nigeria, before they said they should sit down, they would have sat down. But it's good to have. Well, glad to be here. Wow. I love those pictures. Well, we've been friends for decades now, okay, and thank God for Pastor Lan and Pastor Debo. He says he learns from me. I've been learning from him. Every time you meet with him, he has something to open your eyes to. Yesterday, I came in here and I saw training going on leading light, and I love that. I love when leadership is improved, because everything rises or falls on leadership. The better the leader, the better the organization. Any team can never outgrow the capacity of its leadership. Leaders make decisions that impact on the led. You improve a father's life, you impact on the family. You touch a pastor, you touch a church. So I love when I see leadership, you know, many people's capacity. There's this improvement or development that enhances their output. And I really love that. I really love that. It's something that I have a passion for. I rather talk to a pastor than talk to a member of a church. If the pastor's head is correct, it will correct the member's head. Do you understand that? When fathers join our church, we discover that like 2-3 weeks, the entire family joins the church. It's easy for dad to get them and say, oh yeah, we're going to church. But sometimes when the mom joins the church, or just one member of the family, is divided. So leadership development is key. Leadership is either a blessing or a curse. It's a disaster to stay under a non-growing leader. So I want to encourage us to keep growing, to keep improving. And for those who are in Leading Light, the training, please ensure that you complete your modules. No matter how stressful it is, your improvement will impact on your kids a whole lot and whatever organization you're going to be building. Praise the Lord. When we started church many years ago, I had to counsel a lot of people on relationship matters. You know, young pastor, people come around and have this problem. When the wife comes to you and she speaks, you think the man is a very bad man. You already condemn the man, and then just call for the man. And then when the man also speaks, the woman is very bad. So I had to go and pray. I said, God, if I'm going to be counseling all the couples in church, there will be problems. I won't have time for another thing. He said, I can't blame them. That we go to school to do courses, you know, engineering. You do like 5 years. I don't know how many years you do it here. 4 years here. Accounting, 3-4 years. Medicine, like 6-7 years. Before you are certified. When it comes to marriage, people get certified before they start classes. You know, so I can't blame them. There's no school of wifing, you know, or husbanding, where they give you some courses and you take for like 2 years before you now, they certify you to get married. They send messages to your church, you know, to your family that he's now certified to be married. No, but we dance and celebrate and people are certified. So there's no way they won't have problems in that sense. So he said to me then that it's better we start the school in church on time, so the counseling will reduce. So we used to take out time, you know, then out of our multiple services, we pick out one service and teach on relationship matters. If you're going to get married, we encourage you to attend any of those services. And then suddenly the counseling reduced drastically. When members of the church themselves are educated, it's easier for them to help others in the church. You know, so I believe these teachings will help us a lot to be better at what we do. And when you are not in good shape when it comes to your relationships, you can't be happy. You can't be happy, no matter how talented, how gifted you are. If you are not in good terms with your fiance or fiancée or your husband or wife, you can't function well. I mean, for me, I don't know about you guys in Chicago here. Are you okay? Can you function well, Pastor Lumide, if she's not happy? And another human being is a complex, you know, structure, as it were, that if you don't understand how, for instance, I read the book that talked about the differences between a man and a woman. And it's amazing, because I didn't know that the woman's thinking pattern is so different from ours. A woman is emotional, man is logical. For a man, 1 + 1 = 2. Pastor Omo, 1 + 1 = 2. For a woman, 1 + 1 does not necessarily mean 2. It depends on the state of one of the ones. You get it? If one of the ones have malaria fever, it will not equal to 2. That's the truth. So we're both correct. So you find that men want women to think like them, and then the women want the men to think like them, and that's a recipe for crisis. So we try to force them to think logically. I told you yesterday to do this. I gave you $100, you know, and you told me it was $80. So where is the $20? You know, 1 + 1 = 2. And she started to explain to you that, yeah, that was the plan. But something came up. I don't want to hear anything. Praise the Lord. So I just want to share a bit of the lessons I've learned that will help us. Proverbs 24 verse 3. I discovered that relationships are built by wisdom, not by emotions, not by traditional thinking. Proverbs 24:3 says, by wisdom a house is what? Built. And through understanding it is established. By wisdom, not by emotions. Not by emotions, by wisdom. Verse 4, it says, through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. So you find that it is wisdom and knowledge and understanding that makes it work. Many try to use sentiments and emotions, feelings. It won't work. You need wisdom. You need to understand how relationships work. I speak a lot to pastors, and I tell pastors, as much as you are reading books on revival, church administration, invest time in reading books that relates to relationships. Because when you don't have it, you won't have fruit there. Pastor Lam was talking about proclaiming the word of God. When we focus on a particular thing in church, we can get fruits from it. Anytime the pastor teaches on prosperity for a while, like 6 weeks, you know, you can get a harvest of prosperity, you know, testimonies or good reports. When they teach on healings, you can find healings taking place. So when we have seeds from God's word on relationship matters, that is when we can have a harvest of healthy relationships and healthy marriages. So it's not something we should do scantily, because either sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly, and those who sow bountifully, we'll reap bountifully. So it's not in, so these services, I mean, I saw one of the adverts, I think next week, you're hosting some 2 weeks' time. I love that. Let's just keep sowing it. Some might not get it immediately, but it's a seed. It enters their system, they will live a better life. Through wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, it is established. And through knowledge, it's rooms. So the more you learn, the more beautiful it is. The more colorful the marriage can be. So we must be willing to learn. We must be willing to gain God's wisdom. And then something I also observed is, Satan tries to perpetuate the errors of our parents in us. That's something many people don't watch out for. Whatever happened to your parents or uncle, Satan desires to repeat the same thing with you. Sometimes it accounts for the kind of battles you face. You know, they call it familiar spirit. When a particular demon, or do you know about demons? Let me just spirit, so somebody will not leave the service. Spirits. when a particular spirit is familiar with a particular terrain, it's easy to invest in that. You know, when there is a problem with barrenness, you know, it's easy to want to replicate it in Isaac, because what Abraham faced happened also to Isaac. So when you have a line of divorce and separation, then you must be on guard. That spirit is already familiar with that. Grandparents, parents, it's just something the demon is tempted to do, or the spirit. Instead of tempting you, something else is familiar with that. If it can happen to the mom and the dad, it's, so when you see some battles you are facing, you can see the trend. We must be willing to break such things. But that's what they call generational curses. Things that set them back, you know. You must be determined. I grew up, my dad never used to hug me. I can't remember my dad hugging me. There was no, you know. So when I was in elementary school, when I do well in class, they don't really celebrate me, you know. But the day I came second, I remember my dad was just bickering and talking and talking. And it was like a negative system. When you do right, they don't celebrate you. When you break a plate, you're in trouble. Real trouble. So I said, okay, when I correct my kids, I need to balance it when they do well. In fact, when they do well, you celebrate it more. And then now I hug my kids a whole lot. I have three daughters. And, you know, when I get home, they run and I want to just jump all over me. But I didn't grow up with that. My dad, you can't hug my dad. I can't remember that happening. So you must be determined. So if you notice you battling with alcohol, multiple girlfriends, excessive anger, killer tongue, check out where it's coming from. Satan might be trying to replicate what brought down your dad or your mom or their marriage. So you can't just be there and sitting there and thinking, is that a social thing? No. If that thing matures in you, you might end up worse than them. And that's the reason why we must be willing to learn. We must be willing to learn. My parents won't be happy if I live a worse life than theirs. What is the joy in that? Some families battle with financial problems. They didn't have any problem with the marriage, just finances. So Satan will try and come to you along those lines, and then you must face it and conquer it. For some dad, it was excessive anger. Any small thing snaps off, beats the mom, and then you're already getting angry in the office, throwing things. there was this couple in our church, you know, the man came and said they were having problems. I said, what's the problem? That my, the wife gets angry. I was shocked. A woman, I mean, when they have a problem, she will break all the gadgets at home. So there was this day they were quarreling, fighting, and the first thing he just did was to go and be blocking the TV. What is it? I mean, because you just bought that TV, you know. She just said, no, what is it? Let's settle this thing, you know. Now, it was so bad that they had to arrest the wife because she picked up a knife and he had to go and bail her out of the police station. So women can be angry too. So in case you're like that, it might be something your mother had or your dad that's trying to replicate itself in you. So we must break generational curses. So let me just share two or three things that will help us improve on our relationships. The first thing is the law of adaptation. Adaptation. Without adaptation, you can never succeed. Without adaptation, you can never succeed. Many people refuse to adapt to changing seasons. And that is a law that will help you in business, in career, in everything you do. I mean, it's like going to the UK. It's not left-hand drive, it's right-hand drive. You've got to adapt if you must drive. So when you get married, you must remember that you are no more a bachelor. Most people forget. Ladies at times enjoy the friendship mode of the courtship. That when they get married, they forget that it's different. As much as he's your friend, or he's still your friend, he's now your leader. So they want the friendship mode to continue. So they play excessively until it gets to some dishonorable things, and they wonder why is he reacting. No, you're now married to him. It's now your Lord, you know, as it was. So he's still your friend, but something in him says he's your leader. He needs to be respected. He needs to be honored. So you know how to balance that. Most people need to understand the law of adaptation. For ladies, for guys, when you get married, you enjoy yourselves. The moment a baby shows up, everything changes. Everything changes. So adaptation helps us to be able to flow with God as we progress in life. I saw something about Apostle Paul that really touched me. He says, to the Jews, I became a Jew. To the Gentiles, I adapted myself. To the weak, I behave like I'm weak. To the strong, okay, I'm strong, that I might gain some. You can't gain, you can't profit in your marriage or relationships if you cannot adapt. Adaptation. Some people need to remember that they are now saved. That the things you used to do when you are not saved, you can't just continue to do that. Adaptation. 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 I used to have some extra monies before I got married, you know, and Reverend Samadi, I mean, when I went to see him, he said, now you're getting married, those things are going to change. I said, it's not as bad as that. Okay. I said, is that all those money you used to have to buy suya? What's suya in Chicago? Suya. Do you know suya? Kebab. I think it's kebab, have you? Roasted meat. You understand me? Stick. Roasted meat and they put stick inside. You know, he said, all those monies used to have that was free, you buy shawarma, all this and that. It might not be like that anymore. And I noticed that when I got married. Because the woman used to go and visit, you know, her parents take care of her and all those stuff. It's different when you now stay. She's now your own. And for ladies, the man used to see that, you know, you greet him and everything. You know, something happened, somebody got married, and the first night, he was snoring, you know. Most of us snore. And the lady didn't even think, he can't be my husband. This must be a generator. You know generator? So she went outside and looked, and what's making this noise? I was even trying to wake the husband. What's making this noise? And the bad thing about snoring is that the man snoring is enjoying himself in court, and you are suffering. When she discovers, but you have to adapt. First Corinthians 9, let's have that. First Corinthians 9, verse 19. Remember that your husband is not your dad. Some ladies were so close to their dad. Maybe you had a father that worked in a company for 35 years, methodical, you know. And then suddenly you begin to expect those things from your husband. And you start reacting unconsciously. Your husband is not your dad. Your husband is not... Most people do this unconsciously. Some guys try to treat their wife like their elder sister and expect her to cook like their mom or elder sister, and she might not even be like that at all. So you have to adapt. She's not your elder sister or your mom. She's your wife. He said, though I'm free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone. Can you see that? A slave to everyone. If we can do that to our spouses, things will get better. A slave to everyone. To win as many as possible. Next verse, please. It says, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. So there's some things you need to become to win your wife over or your husband over. And to those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. Next verse. He says, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law. I'm not saying you should compromise in the name of adaptation. No. Okay, he says, so as to win those not having the law. Verse 22. To the weak, I became your spouse. You know, you must understand that we have strengths and weaknesses. To the weak, I became weak. To win the weak. I've become all things unto all men, so that by all possible means, So he was adapting to the weak, to the Gentiles. So we need to adapt. For instance, we all speak different love languages. I was amazed learning that we always try to get from people to do to others what we really like. And that's selfish anyway. Just like trying to catch a fish, you now put noodles. You know noodles? Yeah. Noodles, you know, because it looks like worms, you know. So you like noodles, but the fish can't take that. But it looks like worms. So you now put it on the hook thinking they will respond. No, you put what they like. Yeah. You don't like worms, but they like worms. So love is a sacrifice. Yeah. So there are certain things you got to do that you don't really like, but for that other's sake, you got to do it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Adapting, learning, understanding your spouse. I am a bit, if I tell couples, if an area is your strength, most likely is your spouse's weakness. I am a lot organized. I try to always arrange things everywhere I am. I'm always arranging things, putting things in. That's me. So my wife is not like that. So I'm not always surprised when I get to the room and I see the socks somewhere there and one blouse on the other side. When you understand the other person's weakness, you anticipate mistakes. That anticipation helps your tolerance. Yes, thank you. So don't just go out and say, what is all this? Socks there, blouses there, I can't take this anymore. No. So I just go, when I get to the room, I get there, I pick the socks and I say, ha, you have come again, you know. I am anticipating it. But she is more compassionate than I am. You know, something happens when I get gifts from people. I want to get the gift, you know, the real gift. There was a day somebody gave me an envelope. I was so much in a hurry to see the real thing. I tore the money. I'm telling you. Impatience. You know, some currencies will just, you know, slip on the envelope. So I told you, currency. So now when I get gifts, she preserves the package and the gift. Just give it to her. And then she takes her time, untie it. Me, I just rip it open. Yeah! Glory to God. Upbringing. Some people grew up in a home where they had household staff that do everything. Wash, clean, sweep, you know, and all those stuff. And then so when they get married, they might not be so proficient in keeping the house together. Don't look at them like they are failures. They are not. If you are in their shoes, you will be worse. But you, your parents were not so rich. They didn't have anything. You did everything. You are washing the gutters. You are washing everything. You now make it look like you are that powerful. It's poverty that caused it, not that you are that expensive. So now you know about everything. How to clean okra plate, how to clean. What do you call? Do you have okra in Chicago? Okra. Ila, Ila, and that's what they call it in Yoruba language. Praise the Lord. But do we understand the principle of adaptation? Even in your office, when you change offices or you move homes or houses, you need to learn to adapt to your new environment. Most people carry the past into the present and they scuttle the present. Your new boss won't be like your former boss. Your new organization is not like your former organization. And I tell people in our church too, some of you just came from another church and joined our church. And I tell them up front, this church is not perfect. I don't know why you left the other church. Welcome, but we're not perfect. But we'll not behave like a former church. We had a challenge one time. We used to have this child dedication, and you know, people come with their babies in front, and I pray over them. And one guy, one couple got angry that in the summer church, the pastor's wife must carry the baby. I said, where? In your former church. This is a new church. There's no scripture that says the pastor's wife shall carry the baby, and then the priest shall dedicate. So you have to adapt. What do you want? Is it carrying or dedication? Praise the Lord. Adaptation. Then number two is for us to enjoy our relationships, not just in marriage. We must be teachable. Teachability. I tell guys, it's not about teaching people how to run their marriage, you know. If you're not good at relating with others, when you get married, it will show up. If you are disrespectful, you know, you lack courtesy, you don't show respect, it will show up in your marriage. How you handle your day-to-day relationships will show up in your marriage. So you must be teachable. It's a disaster to marry an unteachable man. It's a disaster. When you have a man that no one can talk to, not one person, not one person can call him and say, why did you do that? Then it's a disaster. Some ladies are like that too. If you keep making excuses for failure, you're unteachable. It was Kenneth Copeland that said that. That every time something happens and you keep explaining, this is the reason. And that to help us in everything we do. An excuse is not the reason. Be teachable. Be teachable. You see, one day a lady came and said, the guy complained about the wife, that she did this, and she was really wrong. And I called the wife, what was the problem? I said, Pastor, we've been married for so and so years. Do you know he has never said, I'm sorry? He's always explaining traffic, the food is, you know, there's always an explanation. If you're married for 5, 7, 10 years, and you have never said to your wife, I'm sorry, how great thou art. You've never been wrong. We like that, man. We want to explain. We don't like. And look, that you are wrong doesn't mean you are less a man. Even Jesus wept, you know. So because we think it's macho, you know, or masculine. I can answer. No, you are wrong. I apologize. And when you do it well. Not, okay, I'm sorry. Is that what you need? Does that settle everything? You are not apologizing. Man, are we getting that? And when you apologize, what I try to do is, I still do it the second time before I explain where I went wrong. So she can see that I got what she was saying. That baby, I actually overreacted about that matter. Yeah, you were wrong, but I overreacted. I didn't have to be that quiet for 2 days. Abba, baby, I'm sorry. That's better. So all the men in the house, can we say, I'm sorry. So in Ecclesiastes 4 verse 13, allowing God to correct you is important, so we don't crash like Samson. Correction is a blessing. It's bitter in the mouth, sweet to our destiny. When sometimes correction can come from your kid, can come from your pastor, can come from your wife, think through it. Better a poor but wise youth than an old but foolish king who no longer knows how to take warning. They can't talk to you anymore. Then there's no future. Correction comes from unexpected sources. When you get back to your room, think about it. Stop explaining. Stop giving reasons why you are doing it. You perpetuate the problem. If you keep making excuses for failure, you are unteachable. Correction is a blessing. Proverbs 29 verse 1. 29 verse 1. Proverbs 29 verse 1. A man who remains what? Stiff-necked. Necked. Or naked. Stiff-necked. After many what? Will suddenly be. Don't go for that. When people get some sudden stuff, we say, how did it happen? It happened because they missed the first part. You know, the Bible is life manual. When you buy, like this Yamaha, when it was bought, it came with a manual, isn't it? There's this, you know, paper, you know, like pamphlet that goes with it. Now, is that manual that helps you to maximize the gadget? The Bible is your own manual that God sent following you to help you see what you must do to maximize the life He's given you. So when you come to church and the pastor begins to expound the scriptures, don't see it from a religious perspective. See it from the manual telling you how to live. If the manual says to start up this keyboard, you press a white button for 5 seconds, and then it comes on. And then you say, no, in my village, we don't like white button. It's black we like. Yeah, I can't be white. I don't like white. You now go and look at a black one and start pressing it. That's how we do. God ordained marriage, and then we want to do it ourselves. No, this is the way we want to do it. I'm pressing the wrong buttons, and then we see all the problems all over the world. So when look at that scripture, a man who remains stiff-necked. Maybe you are here and they've been telling you about something. Maybe your health, your eating habit, or something you are doing, or you get angry easily, and they are saying it. If you don't respond to that rebuke, destruction is coming suddenly. Avoid that. There's hardly any crisis a Christian will face that God did not use the donkey to speak. He would have been speaking. We now make God look like, where was God? How can she go through that? No, God has been speaking. But he did not listen. She did not listen. We must be teachable. We must be teachable. Okay, so I begin to round up now. So I just semi-finally. We must beware of Satan. Now, we must beware of. Yeah, I have seen families attacked. An attack that come would always affect the family. So if we don't understand how Satan attacks in that sense, because, you know, in Africa, for instance, we're used to somebody sees two cockroaches. We have cockroaches in Chicago? Real cockroaches? What's the color? You have rats? Big ones, bugger rats. Now, when they see two cockroaches following each other, now maybe it's a demon. So many things have been, you know, excesses of demonology and things like that. But Satan does not attack like that. That's the lowest level. Somebody is pressing you in the dream. He has an attack, but there is subtle ways. Should I even use the word sophisticated? That most people don't anticipate. Certain things that happen, we don't see it as an attack, but it's a real attack. For instance, Satan can attack through the person closest to you. Your wife, your husband, your closest friend. It doesn't make them bad. Do you know that it was Eve that took the fruit? That was an attack. And then he gave it to Adam, and then the rest is history. It was Sarah that told Abraham to go in unto Hagar. That single counsel is the birth of Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda, Taliban. So, it's a huge attack. Peter tried it with Jesus. So you're not going to die. Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So when we when we understand, when you are counseled by someone closest to you, you need discernment. It doesn't mean Peter was bad. In fact, that same chapter, Peter spoke by the Spirit. And Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. But suddenly, he went on lease. You know lease? For a moment. Like Sarah was on lease. Can you imagine if Abraham told Sarah the same thing? That no, God will come through for us. We don't need all that. Can you imagine what would happen in this world? That, Sarah, let's just endure. No, it's going to happen. God will not fail. Because what Peter was telling Jesus to do, you won't be saved. I won't be saved. That was his life purpose. That you're not going to die. No, nobody will. I came to die. So he didn't say, get behind me, Peter. Something else was influencing him. So a counsel can be an attack. Now some of us are in some predicament now by someone that counseled us. Some of the habits we have, bad habits, someone said to us is not that bad. It looked very innocent, but now you're hooked up. So we must be discerning that, no, this is not from God. I won't do that. It doesn't mean Sarah was bad. There was a time Sarah said something to Abraham, and God said, listen to your wife in this. So it's not that the person is bad, but we must be discerning when we hear a counsel from a trusted friend or a spouse to know, is this from God or the whispers of Satan? Because I've seen people fall by the wayside, by a friend in the office, just telling them, that girl is not bad, just go ahead. And then suddenly, polygamy started. And then everything scattered. Just because a friend said, she's not bad. Attacks come when we have a major victory. Satan tries to attack after a major victory. That's why for pastors in particular, after a major convention, a major program, you must be very watchful. It's your most vulnerable time. You know, when Joshua overcame Jericho and everything fell down, he was so excited. They were to go and fight another land, a small land. Ai. He didn't even pray. If we can beat Jericho, what is Ai? Unknown to him, something had gone wrong. And then soldiers died. If he had prayed, perhaps God would have said, don't go. Achan has spoiled so. So we must be sober and what? Vigilant. You know, Nigeria, when we play football, when we score, there's this overexcitement that leads to them equalizing. Does that make sense to you? A 90-minute match, you scored one goal at 15 minutes! You don't go up and down, remove your t-shirt. My friend, is 90-minute match. And they are so carried away, defense is distracted. And then what started as celebration can end. Most of those matches, we end up losing it. So after you have scored, yes, rejoice, but be sober. You make some couple of millions of dollars, you are happy, relax. If not, you start taking something else. Relax, calm down. After a major victory, you got the contract, the things, you know, things are working out fine. Relax. Relax. It's a mark of maturity. So you are ready. Attack comes mainly from your predominant weakness. You know, in wrestling, if you notice wrestling, and when they're fighting, and someone gets hit somewhere, and the opponent notices that place is a bit weak, then it begins to hit that place the more. You just focus on that place. This place, you are going to fall. Pastor, I just saw something in scripture that shocked me. Moses was not tempted with women. Anger. Anger. And you could see Satan putting pressure on that weakness by the reactions of the Jews when they left Egypt. They were getting them angry. He was Satan pressing that place. He knew that right temperature and pressure, this guy will misbehave in this area. Just got him angry. But David was never tempted with anger. In fact, when he killed Goliath, what did they do? Who was singing?
It was the women.
Now, Pastor Debo,
Pastor, where should we have
a choir singing? When you left slavery of 430 years, that's when you should sing. Your dad slave, grandpa slave, great grandpa slave, and then suddenly you are now released. They should sing for Moses. But that was not his weakness. Anger. Press it. But Goliath came down, and all the ladies came out. David has killed. What? Saul has killed 1,000. David has killed 10,000. From that day, David did not rest. Ever asked yourself, why was it when he went up to the, is it anteroom or what they call it? No, the top of the palace. Why was it the time Bathsheba was having her bath? Why? Why didn't she finish before? There were two demons involved. Sorry, two spirits. One told Bathsheba, go have your bath now. And the other one came to the palace. Oga, go. Go. And they were calling each other, go. Is she there now? Okay, go. Only prayer can shut down that equation. So watch and pray. Prayer, that singular moment disrupted his generations. If he hadn't seen her. And prayer is powerful. He could have gotten up there when she was wrapping up and leaving. But why? Judas was never tempted with women or anger. They never told him, we'll give you a lady when you betray your Christ. Money. They saw, Satan saw it. In my weakness, he is merciful. His strength is made perfect. But you must know. So when you are praying, you know what you are praying about. Many homes have been wrecked. One day, a lady came for interview in her office, front desk officer. You know, when Satan knows your model, he sends them to you. Why wasn't it the Bathsheba's grandmother that I was thinking about? Why was it Bathsheba? Even if he saw her, what is that? What is that? Like you say, but I want that woman not to go back, not to be taking her bath upstairs. Lady came to the office. After the interview, I'm always to see I'm the last to see the person and approve it. So they brought the lady in that they interviewed her. She's qualified. So she came in. Oh, yes. I looked at her. She's too qualified. They said, what should I tell her? I said, tell her she's too qualified. That we cannot pay her level. She's too qualified. Wisdom is better than strength. Impatience is the driving force for excessive anger. Impatience. You don't have all the details and you're concluding. So you just blast and, you know, so relax. Relax. Calm down. Okay, she's wrong. Or he's wrong. What about mercy? Mercy is interpreting another's weakness in the light of your own. You understand that, sir? Mercy is interpreting another person's weakness in the light of your own weakness. If you compare it to your strength, you will oppress and manipulate. But look at your own weakness, then you calm down. We must continually grow spiritually so we don't become victims of these things. I want to advocate spiritual growth. Spending time in God's presence, spending time coming to church, spending time in prayers. When an evil spirit is gone out of a man, he seeketh a dry place and finds none, he will want to return back. And then if the place is still empty, the last state of that man is worse. So we must continually grow so we don't end up worse than our parents. In Jesus' name, rise up on your feet. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.